Good to see you all. I don't know if you're aware, but The Shack, some of you might have read The Shack a few years back, is actually on at the movies this week, and most cinemas that are running it will only run it for a week. So if you want to go on, I haven't seen it, but Andy and Ann Howard have. Is it good? Very good, there you go. So if you enjoyed the book, yeah, prepare to cry. Enjoyed the book, you might enjoy the movie. It's a Christian film, but it's on at Liverpool One, I know that, and it's on at, where did you go and see it at? New Brighton. So, fancy a bit of a Christian film? There you go. And that moves beautifully into Isaiah 55. Because, have you ever read one of those books that just grips you from start to finish? I mean, I've read many, many dull books in my life. I mean, I studied theology, let's face it. But sometimes you read a book and it just grabs you. Or if you're not a bookworm, sometimes you watch a movie and, you know, you've seen so many that are just forgettable, but every now and again one comes along that just is amazing. It's action after action, it's, you know, amazing philosophical truth after amazing philosophical truth. Do you know the sort of thing I'm talking about? I'm not painting a very good, no, Dave's shaking his head, isn't it? I'm trying to paint a picture for you here. I want us to read Isaiah 55. If I was better at technology, I wouldn't be reading this to you this morning. I, as a preacher, I like to read the word myself. Sometimes I go to churches where they have somebody, they give them that job, and I don't like that, because I like to ground my sermon in the word that I'm reading. But part of my preparation is to listen to the word. And the way the technology is today, we've already mentioned it this morning a couple of times, you can listen to the word of God. You can open your iPad, turn your phone on, turn your computer, and you can listen to the word of God. And so I was listening to Isaiah 55. I listened to it 3 or 4 times this week. And I listened to it more than normal because on YouVersion, Isaiah 55 in the English NIV is read by David Suchet. Hercule Poirot is reading Isaiah 55. I thought I wanted to play it to you, but I couldn't figure out how to do that. So there's a bit of homework for you. Go home, YouVersion, Isaiah 55. It's like having chocolate poured down your throat. It is just beautiful. Some of you know this book quite well, and I don't think Isaiah 55 is like even in the top 10 for people. But as I read it, I was like, wow, that's good. Wow, that's good. Wow, that's good. So let's read it together. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower, and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. I loved it. In fact, as I was reading it, I was thinking, I know those words, but I didn't know they were Isaiah 55. And quite a lot of the themes in this chapter are repeated elsewhere in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And the thing that really grabbed me was this idea that the word does not return empty. I just thought, that is an amazing thing, that the word does not return empty. I have been preaching regularly for 15 years. So that's, let's say that's about 35 or 40 sermons a year. Yeah, 35, 40 weeks a year. So 40, let's go for 40, over 15 years. I'm not very good at maths, but that's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot. And if you are a preacher and you are speaking the words out there, you're hoping that they have some effect. But as I look out at you guys, just have a look around, look behind you. If you're sitting in the front, you know, have a look. I see people who have spoken the word about Jesus to all sorts of people. You may have been a Sunday school teacher. You might not have been a Sunday school teacher for 30 or 40 years. And you might look back and think, where is the fruit of my ministry? What has God done? Anything? And we can feel depressed, can't we? Because we go, oh, I really sowed into that youth work. I really sowed into that kids' work. I really sowed into that summer camp. I really went for it. And what have I seen? And here is this incredible promise that says the word of God does not return without fulfilling its purpose. Come on. Think about it just for a second. I'm in my brother's back garden just after my grandma's funeral. My brothers are Freemasons. My younger brother is climbing the ladder, whatever that means. And we have a very brief conversation because we don't really talk about that kind of stuff. It's too difficult. But my brother's saying, well, we're just like you. Christians. I said, you're not. You haven't got Jesus. The word will not return to me empty. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't a theological debate. It wasn't a big thing about why I don't like what they do and why they don't like what I do. It was none of that. It was just a word about Jesus. Think of how many of those conversations you've had in the last year, never mind in your life. And God says the word does not return empty. And obviously, some of you speak more words than others. The sociologists reckon that women, this is absolutely true. There's members of the leadership team on the front row here looking a bit cross, but this is absolutely true. They reckon that women speak about twice as many words as men. And there is I think I'm in touch with my feminine side, to be honest. I think I'm up there with the 30,000. But whether you are a quiet soul or a noisy one, I'm sure it's not really down gender lines, actually. But whether you are a quiet soul or a noisy one, isn't that encouraging? That the thing that we have spoken in Jesus' name accomplishes what he desires. On Wednesday, we had Roy Crown come and speak to leaders. Leaders from across the city were invited to an event. And one of the things he was talking about was some research called Talking Jesus. And Talking Jesus was some research that was done across the nation to ask people who don't do church, wouldn't necessarily say they were Christians, asking them about their ideas and thoughts on faith. In this, they did this survey right across the nation, asked hundreds and hundreds of people, a big, big survey. And one of the things they discovered was that 43% of people in our nation believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. 43%. Now, you might think that's quite negative, but I thought that was amazing. And that was absolutely incredible. There's a pastor called Rico Tyson. You might have read his books. I think he's at All Souls Langham Place, or one of those big churches in London. And he said this research absolutely changed his life, because he would put on big events, especially Easter time. A lot of people come to church once a year, don't they, or twice a year, Christmas and Easter. And he said, I would do my Easter services, and I would try and convince people that Jesus raised from the dead. That would be the point of the service. He said, but then I read this research that said 43% of British people believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. He says, so I'm thinking, well, if that's the truth, and they're the ones who come once a year at church, aren't they? So I need to stop trying to convince them. They already believe. What I need to do is tell them what difference that makes in your life. If Jesus is raised, what difference does that make in your life? How you can know him, the living Savior. How you can know Jesus. And as we think about the word going out, we need to have confidence in talking about Jesus, the living one, the one who really lived and really died and really rose again. The word goes out and it does not return to us empty. There's a word that goes out, and it's a word about the one to come. Isaiah is called the fifth gospel, and it's called the fifth gospel because all the time it's talking about this Messiah who was to come. It's an incredible thing. 700 years before the birth of Jesus-ish, Isaiah was writing about this one who is to come. We have this really groovy shift in those first few verses that say, come, all you who are thirsty, come and eat, come and drink. That's written to us, to the people who are hearing it. It's plural. Everybody's welcome. And then by verse 4, it suddenly shifts to singular. I will send this one. This one who's a bit like David, but it's not David because David's already dead. I will send this one to come. The one he's talking about is Jesus. He's saying, here he comes. Isaiah's seeing into the future, and we're seeing into the past. We're saying, Jesus has come. What difference has he made in our global world? What difference has he made in your life? What difference has he made in the lives of the people around you? Isaiah sees Jesus. In John's gospel, we've had a bit of a quote from the message this morning, haven't we? In John's gospel, the message says this, that the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus lived where you live. I mean, I don't think he ever came to Liverpool. Well, you know, no, fairly sure he didn't. But he's lived where we live. He's walked what you've walked. He's walked sorrow and joy. He's been to weddings and funerals. He's been the places we have been. He's seen people let him down and disappoint him. He's seen people encourage him and speak life into his life. You know what that is like. Jesus has walked where we have walked. And we need to get hold of this is a word for us, the church, and it's a word for our neighborhood. Jesus is alive. And he's speaking into our world. It's a word about the one to come. I'm kind of glad the Olympics then for some reason. I'm kind of glad the voting is over. It was a bit like the Olympics, wasn't it? I mean, it just went on forever, didn't it? And if you're a fan or less of a fan of social media, you'll know that some of those people that you think you quite like normally and they speak real sense, suddenly they're saying all sorts of odd things. And one of my mates put this on. He said that cataracts are the third biggest cause of blindness and politics and religion are the first two. I have no idea whether that's true about cataracts, by the way. Dave will tell us. It's probably not. It's probably something else. But at first I was offended. How dare he say that? And then I thought, you know what? He's right. We've seen the blindness of religion in this nation. Not just recently with ISIS's Islamic stuff, but we've seen the blindness of religion in this world. And we need to see the light of Jesus. We need to see that Jesus is the hope of the world, that he welcomes the sinner. He welcomes those who are broken. He says, come. Isaiah, without realizing it, is saying, let's get back to Jesus. Let's get back to him. He's calling us. He's calling us as a people to speak a word about the one who was to come, the one who has been, into our friendship groups and into our friends. You know, the interesting thing about the Jesus survey was that 46%, was that I said, believed in the resurrection of Jesus. That's 46% of white people. 72% of black people believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. So the black people in this country are way ahead of us, aren't they? Isn't that amazing, interesting, challenging? Who we're speaking to about the word? It's a word does not return empty. It's a word about the times. The times we live in are evil. Would you agree? The times we live in are challenging. I was reading an interview with James May, you know, from Top Gear. And he was saying, oh, we live in these great times, don't we? Everything's fantastic. Everything's amazing. And I'm thinking, have you not turned on the telly for 2 weeks? We live in really challenging times. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. There's places in the world where the poverty is just incredible and the oceans are rising. And we're going, the world's getting better. Well, if you're getting paid $7 million a year, maybe it is. But if you are getting paid $7 million a year, come and have a chat to me later. I've got a few things we could do together. But it's the same in Isaiah's day. Sometimes you read the Bible and think it's some sort of fairy story where everything was fine. This is written to a tiny group of people whose lives are incredibly challenged. And incredibly challenging. And he's saying, but the word does not return empty. And we need to seek God while he may be found. We need to look for him while we can find him. I don't know what you think about those verses, but it's a real challenge, isn't it? Because it hints that there is times when he can't be found. We talked about that last week. But here we are in this day, right now, we need to look for God while he can be found. Seek implies not just a man look. You know a man look? I've looked for it. And then Angie goes, well, why? It's here. I find if I say the thing over and over again out loud, sometimes it appears. I don't think that's magic. That's just, you know, masculinity. But we need to recognize that we need to look. There is an action going on here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. If you're not a Christian, if you're agnostic or atheist background, you might want to think, well, is any of this true? And there's a historical basis for the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And you can go and get into those books, and I've got loads of them. I'll lend you them. You can go and research, is this stuff true? You need to seek him while he may be found. But for lots of us, we've already got that point. And yet we want an encounter with God this morning, don't we? You know, I know the stuff in my head. I've got a degree in it. I mean, literally, I've got a degree in it. But I want to encounter the living God today. If Jesus is alive, what difference does that make? And Isaiah is saying, seek him while he may be found. We need to find him. We need to say, Lord, will you speak to me? In the New Testament, in Matthew 7 and in Luke 13, Jesus says it's a narrow gate or a narrow way. We have to look for it. Where is God? What is God saying to us this morning? But I love what Isaiah says here. He says, but this is also for the wicked. I was trying to think of the most wicked people I could, and I thought of bikers. Yeah, because they're horrible, aren't they, Sid? Yeah. Bikers. We have a certain reputation. All the bikers I know are lovely. What can I say? But Isaiah says, the wicked. I don't know what that word wicked does in your head, but whatever it does, God is saying they can come. They have to go his way. There's a change of direction, Isaiah says. They have to repent, the religious word is, to go back and go God's way, not your way. But even the wicked, those wicked people you work with, the horrible ones, the challenging ones, the difficult ones, those wicked people you live with. There is this incredible grace of God saying, come seek me while he may be found. What word do you need to speak to somebody? Because that word will not return empty. The wicked are welcome. And it's a word about the thirsty. I slept in a bit this morning. I'm normally up and at it on a Sunday morning. Slept in a bit, and we had to be here, and I was here before, having had a cup of tea. That is illegal, isn't it? It's like, you know, the kettle's on, but it didn't quite get to the cup of tea. And it's like, oh no, I have had one, don't worry, for those of you. You know, but when you get thirsty, that causes all sorts of other issues, doesn't it? It gives you headaches and all sorts of stuff. And you want to quench your thirst. We are thirsty, I believe, as a people. We're thirsty in the West for reality, not for the superficial stuff that we have done. We want to grab that bottle of water and we want to drink it. is the water of life. We sang songs this morning, and the songs tell us the secret of not being thirsty. The secret of drinking is to get below the source. To get below the source. You are not God. I am not God. He sometimes does things or doesn't do things that we do not comprehend. And yet we need him for life. Maybe we need to have a look at our lives. It's a good thing to do a bit of a life laundry. What am I doing? What am I involved in that brings life? What am I involved in that brings life to me? It's so easy. I'm one of those people who say, I say yes to stuff all the time. And then afterwards I have to go, you know what? That is not good for me. I'm not saying bad things. But sometimes we're saying yes to stuff that just fills our lives. And we need to step back and go, you know what? That's not quenching my thirst. That's just religion. Or that's just stuff I'm saying yes to. I'm filling my life with, might even be good things, but it's not God's best. It's a word here for the thirsty. A word about the consequences. When we use that word consequences, often we think about the negative stuff, don't we? And Jesus says on a number of occasions, come to me. And those who don't come to me, there's a great one where he talks about the fish being caught. I think it's Matthew 13. They catch all these fish. And he says the evil fish, I don't know what evil fish are like, but the evil fish will be thrown into the fire and the good fish will come into the kingdom. There is this call in Scripture. There's a consequence to us following Jesus. The consequence is eternal life. Or not, if you don't. So we often think the consequences are negative, but in Isaiah 55, the consequences are positive. There is this fantastic consequence. This is what happens if you drink. This is what happens if you come to him. Life is changed. You are restored. There is amazing stuff that happens. As you start to follow Jesus, it's like a domino effect, and other things fall into place in your life. Marriages are restored. Families are restored. Life is changed. If you start to put Jesus' words into action, you will see the positive consequences in your life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You know, people who become Christians get richer. That's not some weird health and wealth ministry. It's called redemptive lift. It is proven. If you become a follower of Jesus, because you start to think about how you spend your money, and suddenly you're not spending it on some things you used to, and you've got more. It's weird, that, isn't it? And the Lord says, give it away. Woo-hoo! So that you wouldn't be thirsty. But the thing I love, the consequence I love most, is joy. It's joy. You will go out with joy. The trees will clap their hands. They're so pleased to see you. Do people clap their hands when you walk into the room? Hey, Nick's here. The trees are clapping their hands. Or they're going, oh, no. That religious nutter from down the road. That miserable person, that person who always complains. If that's you, then I would suggest to you that you're thirsty and that you need to step back from almost everything you're doing and say, God, I want to find you because I'm thirsty. I want to drink of what you have got. You know, we are not immune from the difficulties of life as Christians. We are not immune. And life is difficult sometimes. And we can find ourselves in a place where we're not feeling full of joy. You know, we've sought him with our brains, but we need to seek him with our hearts. You know, what we believe hasn't changed, but the consequences seem to have drained away. We need a fresh touch of God's Spirit this morning. We need a fresh touch of God's Spirit every day. So that what comes out of us is like a spring of eternal life where others can come and drink. What's God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it? He's been speaking through our incredible sound system, hasn't he? And it's a word that's been hard to bring, which I always think, oh, that's interesting, isn't it? It's like God's got something to say, isn't it? What's he saying to us this morning? What
Is he trying to encourage you about the word that you have spoken and you've thought has fallen on dead ears and barren ground? The Lord says to you, my word does not return empty. Be encouraged. Perhaps he's speaking to you about the times in which we live and the hope that we have in Jesus. How do we speak that out in conversations, in action, in life, so that people see that actually there is a religion, James says, that is good? And there's a word here in there for the thirsty. Are you thirsty? Will you come and will you drink? Worship team, will you come and join us? Perhaps if you're able to, perhaps you would stand. I'd just like to pray for you this morning. Just perhaps you'd like to hold your hands out. You can keep your eyes open, you can close them, whatever you feel comfortable doing. If you're just sitting, just sit the same. It's an attitude of the heart we're looking at here. Lord, we pray for your water of life, the word. His name is Jesus. Lord, we don't want religion. We want encounter with you. We are thirsty, Lord. Lord, help us look at our lives and know what to put down and what to pick up, what to wash, what to dry. Holy Spirit, we just pray that as we come to the end of our service, this will be the start of our week, that you would fill us and refresh us, that we would go out with joy and go forth with peace.